This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
Thanks so much for joining us today here on the Retirement Room with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. You can find him online at MatthewJames.com. You can also give a call, 337-366-8366 is the phone number. It's 337-366-8366. My name is Chris Swan. Today on the show, what moves should you make 5 to 10 years out from leaving the workforce, and when should you consider estate planning before it's too late? All this and more, but first let me check in with the man himself, John. Glad to be with you. How are you, sir?
Chris, look, it's another good day, another good weekend. We had a busy week between, you know, wrapping up volleyball. We got basketball practices. We got some a little bit of track and field left, and tennis is done for the season. We're still playing pickleball on the weekends and trying to get our time riding between me and the kids riding dirt bikes. So there's always something going on. There's always something fun. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are going on with the market, with the economy. This is an election year. We have to look at the tax changes. There's so much out there that we have to discuss and talk about today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, you know, away from the family to spend a little time with the listeners here, offer them a little insight and hopefully a little guidance as they get ready to enter into retirement. And, you know, we've done a lot of stories about how much we need to retire. The study started at $1 million. The latest number, according to Schwab, is $1.8 million. We talk about things like this, the answer always comes back. Well, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. But there's an article, The Motley Fool, that said that when they asked people how much they thought they'd need in retirement, they actually said $1.8 million. So those numbers are actually kind of lining up. John, are people who meet with you affected by these stories? And do they think that they need a lot more to retire than they actually might?
Well, look, some people feel that they might be under pressure, that they need more. But what we have to look at is what is the foundational income streams that they're going to have in retirement? So what is their Social Security going to look like? Do they have access to a pension? What is that value? Because, you know, when you look at that, having those two guaranteed sources of income, that takes a lot of pressure off of having a substantially sized portfolio to draw off of, you know, as far as like a dividend plan or just free withdrawals from an account, or maybe you have rental income. So it all depends on what's going on, but we have to look at, you know, putting yourself in a position to where you're financially bulletproof. So let's just say if something would happen with the Social Security check or the pension check, do you have enough money to survive? And that's the key thing that you have to look at. But the other thing, it's not just money that you need for supplemental income, you know, to supplement your Social Security or your pension, or maybe you have both. But we also have to look at earmarking assets. When we're looking at a holistic plan, we have to cover all of our areas. We have to be tax efficient, number one. And tax efficiency is a driver of where should you place your dollars, because not every dollar is taxed the same. So ideally, the depending on the types of accounts you have access to or you currently have. And so one would be a taxable account, which means anything invested in that bucket receives a 1099 on any interest, dividends, and capital gains that you realize. So that's taxable events. So we have to understand, okay, what if you're placing a dollar in one type of vehicle, it could be taxed at a different rate. So in you know, qualified dividends are favorable. The long-term capital gains are favorable. Short-term capital gains and interest are less favorable. They get taxed at ordinary income. So we have to look at the tax rates these dollars are getting taxed at. Then you have money that's in tax-deferred accounts, such as IRAs or 401ks or any kind of tax deferred plan. Even if you have a tax deferred, you know, annuity, all annuities are tax deferred, whether it's an IRA or non-qualified. So whenever you're taking money out of it, it's taxable at ordinary income. So subject to ordinary income tax rates. And then you have tax favorable accounts or tax-free accounts. So municipal bond interest is tax-free on the federal level, could be on the state level if you're getting that municipal bond in the state that you live in. So Louisiana here, you get a Louisiana municipal bond, then you get state and federal tax freedom, which is very beneficial. The any money coming out of a Roth, though, is tax-free. And the Roth income doesn't trigger your Social Security to potentially be retaxed, where municipal bonds do. So we have to look at placing your assets in the right area, number one, for capital appreciation and then for also the distribution planning. So ideally, depending on what your guaranteed sources of income are, if it's Social Security or if it's a pension, we have to look at a withdrawal strategy to take money out of the necessary buckets, but having a lower tax bill doing so. I mean, we'll have people come in with a $96,000 annual income, and they're paying about $6,500 a year in taxes. But we can rearrange these income streams to go along with their Social Security check if that's what they're receiving, and so they can realize a certain amount of capital gains, a certain amount of dividends, qualified dividends each year, reduce the amount of money that's coming out of the IRA, and have other money coming out of a Roth. Well, they're still getting the same $96,000 of income, but their federal tax bill is zero. So it's all about, you know, distribution planning with taxes as a foundation. But then we also have to have money earmarked for healthcare costs in retirement. So what if you're retiring before the age of 65? What if you retire before the age of 59 and a half? So we have to address these things whenever you're going on to the exchange, whenever you're looking at a healthcare planning before 65, before Medicare takes place. And then from there, we have to look at, what about like extended care cost? You know, in the event, what if you go into a nursing home? What if you have caregivers taking care of you at home, you know, in that later stage of life? So it's a matter of earmarking assets for that. Don't just think, well, it's not going to happen to me. We meet so many people that never would have thought, you know, maybe their parents would have been in that situation. And so we're seeing, you know, that rise at an alarming rate, where people's awareness have been a lot higher of what's going on. But you also have to look at what happened during 2020, 2021, whenever the state wasn't allowing people to go visit their loved ones in a nursing home, and those loved ones in a nursing home couldn't see their family members. So we got to look at, what about privatizing your healthcare? What about earmarking assets, planning things for that? So we have to cover that. Then we have to look at estate planning. Okay, what are you going to be doing about moving assets around and shifting dollars? So the thing is, we got to be careful on what we're doing with trust and not, because then we have to make sure we have easy and accessible money. And so we have to have a plan where we have access to control of all of our funds for different time periods of our life. But we also know we have to have that spendable income, that, and that's not driven from like a guaranteed income annuity. We have to have a real plan of diversification, of real investment assets that we can use and deploy, where we have some that have a lot more principal preservation structure in place. Mm-hmm. And some that have more free reins of capital appreciation, but you are going to experience a little bit more volatility. So ideally, we have to look at risk tolerance. We have to look at tax tolerance. We have to look at, you know, what's going on with our legislative risk that we're dealing with. And we have to cover all these different aspects to making sure that we have the accurate amount of money that we need. But the thing is, the foundation is, what is your guaranteed sources? How much, if you're going to collect Social Security, how much is that? And if you have access to a pension, how much is that going to be? And then we know how much basically pressure that could potentially relieve off of your overall portfolio. Or maybe you need more of your nest egg to build up. And then, you know, how to build more wealth to drive more income is what we have to look at, if that's the issue.
Obviously, the focus, the balance that you've got in your retirement accounts is a major component in the overall quality of your retirement. But it is not just that. It is, how does that translate into spendable and hopefully sustainable income? You know, what is that going to look like annually for you? What is that going to look like monthly for you? Is that going to cover your monthly expenditures? Will Social Security and a pension, if you've got the luxury of that, handle that and take care of that? And, you know, if that is the case, if you've got these guaranteed income sources coming in from your job and from the government, from Social Security, then that can minimize the total number of balance, or the total number that you're going to need in that balance. Also, what does that look like after taxes? As John pointed out there, it is a little bit more complicated than just looking at your 401k statement saying, that's how much I've got, I'm going to be able to retire properly. Hopefully that is the case, but there are a lot more moving parts in there. And as you heard, you know, it may seem a little daunting, but take a step back, pick up the phone, schedule a time to speak with John and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. Find out how that's going to translate into that retirement plan for you. It all starts with that phone number, 337-366-8366. Despite what we said earlier, people finding these balances is what they might need for being able to retire. There's a new study from Fidelity that found that people are actually feeling pretty positive about their retirement prospects, and they have interesting plans once they do clock out for the last time. Here's Carrie Hannon from Yahoo Finance.
So Fidelity found that 3/4 of Americans are now confident that they're going to be able to retire on their own terms. Now, that's great news, right? And the fun thing is that 2/3 of them say that they're looking forward to working for fun in retirement. They're still thinking about retiring between the ages of 61 and 62 when they're still healthy, but most of them are planning to work part-time. And that warms my heart, because I'm a big fan of work.
certainly a positive outlook on the future as far as retirement prospects go, working out of a desire to, not necessarily out of necessity. We've talked before about people who think they're actually going to work in retirement, but you know, no one wants to hire them, especially if they retire, then unretire because they're bored or they need that social interaction. How realistic is that notion that people can continue to work or reenter the workforce?
Well, look, I mean, that's something that, you know, it's great for it to be a choice, mm-hmm. not for it to be mandatory, ideally. So, but, you know, look, there's a lot of people that decide, look, hey, look, I definitely worked a long career, want to retire. They get home and they're like, I'm not staying busy enough. And I'm still have, you know, something in me and they want to do something. And if it's fun, it's great. You know, I mean, there's people that I meet that are retired that they go work at a motorcycle dealership. I used to work at Honda Lafayette for 8 years back in the 2000s. And, at that period of time, you know, we had several guys that were already retired and they were coming in. They were working part time. They worked on Saturdays. They worked like 2 or 3 days a week as salesmen to sell bikes. And it was just fun for them, mm-hmm. you know, because they get to talk about what they loved, the passion about it, help people get onto something that they wanted, you know, as far as a motorcycle or a four wheeler or a dirt bike. And, you know, they loved it. There's gentlemen that I meet at hardware stores that are, you know, they're retired, but they're working just for fun money, for spending money. I mean, there's a lot of women out there that are doing the same thing too. So we just have to look at, you know, what's going on, you know, in their scenario and the fact that they could do it on their own terms is a great thing. They're not doing it, you know, because they have to. They're doing it because they want to. And it just, you know, gives them something else to do, something else to wake up for. And there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is, if you could do it on your terms, that is great news.
You know, we hope that it's the case where you are working or reentering the workforce out of a desire to and not out of necessity. With a proper plan, hopefully you can minimize that, you know, knowing that it's not something that you're forced into doing. If that is in your retirement cards, you know, or your retirement plans, so be it. But also you want to go ahead and make sure that you've got a fallback plan because, as we know, life happens. Sometimes the decisions are taken out of our hands, you know, where perhaps it is, you know, layoffs at the company, or perhaps it's a health issue, whether it's you or a spouse or, you know, a family member, things like that. Or maybe one day you just wake up and decide that you no longer want to do that. And all the more reason to have that plan to fall back on. The team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, John Blanchard, they can help you create that plan and monitor that plan as you get to, through, and beyond retirement. 366-8366 is the phone number. MatthewJames.com is the website to set up that time to speak with them. Now, baseball season is underway, and Major League Baseball has got a uniform problem just a couple months after the last one was introduced. Fans are saying that they don't look good, and players are complaining that the uniforms actually hold too much sweat. And then there's what happened to Riley Green of the Tigers, whose pants actually shredded when he slid into home. It seems like the uniforms weren't properly tested. Now, John, you run stress tests with your clients that can help predict how long their money's going to last in retirement. What are these stress tests like, and how accurate are they?
Yeah. So what we have to look at and what we're measuring is the amount of volatility that they're dealing with. What is the fee structure of their portfolios? Because all these things have contributions to the performance, or positive or negative, you know, for the future of their portfolio. So ideally, what we're looking at is, you know, what's your standard deviation? What is the beta? What is the amount of risk that you're taking? We go look into Monte Carlo scenarios of like, okay, if we go through another, 2000 to 03 period, another 2008, what happened in 2019? We have to look at all these different time periods and what happened in 2021. You know, we look at all these time periods to see, okay, what happened there and how much volatility can you, be exposed to? But we have to look at the sequence of returns risk because that's what most people are exposed to that are unaware of it. Cause mm-hmm. you know, you're thinking, okay, my portfolio is going to get a certain rate of return as an average. But the thing is, we have to look at how much volatility they're dealing with on an annual basis. Because whenever you're taking withdrawals out on a negative year, that's a double negative compounding effect. And so that's going to shorten the lifespan of their portfolio. So these are things that we have to look at. And so there's a few other reports that we go over and we run to see, okay, with a stress test to ideally figure out, okay, are they vulnerable or not? And that's the key thing. And if they are vulnerable, we have to look at fixing the problem and changing the allocation so we can make sure that they can continue receiving their income, but lessen the impact of volatility. But we also have to have a good understanding of what is the purpose of the money and have money earmarked in the correct buckets for, I mean, like I always talk about taxes, but also for, you know, how much risk that you're taking, but also what's the time period when you need the money? So there's money that you need now that should be extremely liquid, principal protected. So what's great right now is money markets and CDs and treasuries have some pretty decent rates. And then from there, you can look at for the soon bucket, we can have a very low volatility factor, very low standard deviation on your portfolio, and some insured indexing blended in there, so we can reduce the amount of risk itself. And then where you can have free withdrawals that you're going to be taking from your accounts and dividends to go ahead and supplement your Social Security or your pension. And so that'll be an account that you're going to be using for the next 20, 25 years. Then we have a third bucket that's focused on more capital appreciation. You're taking more risk with this bucket than you are with the other two. But ideally, this is for the later phase of life. But we're also using this to earmark assets for healthcare planning in the future, like for extended care needs, and then also legacy planning. And we're doing also a lot of tax planning with between all three buckets, but mostly the second two.
Just as you're going to likely be doing different things in over the course of your retirement, your money should be doing different things in different phases of your retirement, and you should have different risk tolerances for it. As John pointed out there, you know, the money that you're going to be needing in the immediacy in the next 5 years is not something that you want really subject to the whims of the market, because if there is that downturn, compounding those losses, well, we know how compound interest can work in our favor. Compounding losses, withdrawing in a down market is a surefire way to spend that money down quickly. But finding that right blend, having a better understanding of your risk tolerance, because John, correct me if I'm wrong, I think a lot of people right now, you know, coming in off the streets or calling in, perhaps what they think they have as far as a risk tolerance and how they're actually allocated in markets and things like that. There's a pretty big disparity in there, isn't there?
Oh, yes. I mean, severely. A lot of people don't really realize how much exposure they have to volatility and how vulnerable they really are. And so it's a good thing to get an idea of where you really are, have an assessment completed, so you know exactly what's going on. That's why, like, you go do physicals to mm-hmm. figure out, okay, how's my heart? How's my lungs? How's my kidneys? How's, you know, all these different organs in our body? So the thing is, this is the same kind of checkup, but regarding your finances, your spendability, what's your vulnerability to, you know, to taxes, to healthcare costs, to market losses. We have to cover all these different aspects to make it sure that we are in the right place.
Just as going to the doctor is a way to check on your physical health, sitting down with the team like Matthew James Taxable Wealth Management, way to make sure that your fiscal health is going to be okay for the years ahead in retirement. And if you find out that, you know, your risk is perhaps a little more than you're comfortable with, then you really are comfortable with being able to dial that back, scale it back to make sure that those losses don't compound. It's very easy to say you're comfortable with risk when the markets are soaring, just like they did for, you know, 11, 12 plus years from 2009 on. But when the markets do have their volatility, and it's not a question of if, but when, you know, actually understanding your risk and hopefully understanding it beforehand and being able to dial that back is paramount to, again, avoiding compounding those losses. The team at Matthew James Taxable Wealth Management, they can help you with that. Just schedule a time to speak with them. 366-8366 is the phone number. The website, MatthewJames.com. Recession is a word that's been thrown around for quite a good number of years here, and the definition seems to have changed. I know Wikipedia actually locked that article a couple months back because people kept changing it. One of the signs that we might be headed into a recession is something called an inverted yield curve, which happens when you get paid more for a short-term bond than a long-term bond. But Eddie Ardini, an analyst, tells Yahoo Finance that he doesn't think it's going to happen this time because the Federal Reserve, well, they acted properly.
And this notion that an inverted yield curve means that we're going to have a recession, what it really does is it predicts a process. It predicts a process that if the Fed continues to raise interest rates, something will break in the system, and that will lead to a credit crunch, and it's credit crunches that cause recessions. Well, the yield curve got it absolutely right again, and we did have a financial crisis last year, but the Fed came in and played whack-a-mole, that they whacked it right down with the liquidity facility, and we didn't get a credit crunch, so we didn't get a recession.
Thrown down technical terms like liquidity facility and whack-a-mole. But before we get too far into the weeds here, John, it sounds to me like this is yet another one of those things that we can't control, but we can prepare for it. How do we do that? What are you telling clients right now?
Yeah, ideally, look, there's a lot of things that we have to look at and we have to prepare for. So the risk that we have is what's going on with the market, with volatility. We have to look at our distribution plan to make sure that we're not taking money out or minimizing the amount of money that we're drawing on an annual basis in a negative market. But then how can we put ourselves in a position to reduce our exposure in a negative market? You know, there's tactical investing where, you know, you can have methods of even daily moves in your portfolio. Do you have more principal protected positions where right now with the rates being what they are, with money market accounts and CDs having structure to that. And so as those mature or you have some liquidity and you use that as income streams to preserve your principal, you have insured indexing that you can use. You can go that route. So we can have a blend of several different things, but it's a matter of understanding the where our market's at, the standard deviation of what's going on, the amount of volatility that we are exposed to in the market being overpriced. So ideally, it's whenever you're placing an asset somewhere, or, you know, is your intention to be long with it? Well, are you buying at a high? Or you're buying at a discount? Or you're buying at a normal price point? So there's a lot of people entering the market right now because they've seen what's happened over the last 4, 5, 6 months, over the last several years, even in the last decade. Mm-hmm. Even though we've had volatility, we have, you know, blips throughout this process. But a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon at the end of the ride. And so what happens is you saw what happened in the dot-com era, where there's a lot of people that purchased into the market at the very tail end of, you know, 1999 going into 2000, the very early stages of 2000, right before the downturn happened. And in those 3 years where the market was down substantially, and the S&P was down 10, 13, and 23, the NASDAQ was down even further. So the thing is, we got to look at what's the overall plan, what's the strategy, what's your thought process on what's happening with the market? Do you have a real understanding of what's going on with it? You know, because a lot of people like to brag about returns that they've done. But okay, are you going to be putting yourself in a position where you're overexposed and vulnerable? And that's the thing, the key thing that we got to look at, because going into retirement, that's a different, you have a different things going on than when you're working. Where you're working, you're using, you know, you have earned income that you're using to spend money on. In retirement, you're taking your savings and you're withdrawing from it for income purposes. So if you're having a negative market and you're withdrawing money, that's a big problem for the future. So we have to look at that and minimize the amount of risk and using the right strategies for this time period. It doesn't mean we have to like set something up for 20 years and it needs to stay that way. You know, the thing is, we need to break down the next 20, 30 years into compartments. And depending on what's happening with the market is we should be able to, you know, be agile and be able to move instead of having to be stagnant in one thing forever. And that's the key thing, is we have to have a good understanding of what's your risk tolerance, what's your need for spendable money. And from there, placing your assets in the right area with the right liquidity provisions and the opportunity to move in the event the market changes.
Being financially nimble, as you say so often here on the show, you know, there are things that we know are going to happen over the course of the next 20, 30 years. There's going to be market fluctuation. Taxes almost certainly going to go up. Interest rates and inflation rates are going to fluctuate as well. We don't know when those are going to happen, but we do know. But by knowing for it, we can be prepared. That's the old Boy Scout motto, you know, being prepared, having a plan in place. If X, then Y. If the markets do, you know, take a downturn, we're going to do this. If taxes do increase, well, ideally, you know, you and the team, you're proactive about that, planning ahead of time. Being able to control what you can control is paramount when it comes to your retirement. That is what the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management wants you to know, and that's what they want to help you with to get started. 337-366-8366 or MatthewJames.com. Have you ever wondered what time it is on the moon? That question might actually be answered soon, because as a team of American astronauts are prepared to return to the lunar surface for the first time in 50 years, NASA wants to draw up time zones on the moon to help with accuracy and timing. They're calling it a coordinated lunar time, or LTC for short. I think it's safe to say that most of our listeners, probably all of our listeners, not going to be setting foot on the moon in their retirement, but there is another LTC that they should plan for, and that is long-term care. John, how do you factor the potential cost of long-term care in when building a retirement plan?
Yeah, look, ideally, if you're going to try to self-fund it, and because they're saying 75% of Americans above the age of 65 will need some form of long-term care assistance, it's extended care. Mm-hmm. And it's something that nobody wants to like be excited about or
sure,
know,
yeah,
you know, like, okay, I can't wait to go into a nursing home, or I can't wait to have, you know, a nursing company come into my home and take care of me. You know, that's not the case. But like, we have to look at what's going to happen, because we're seeing a lot of people, and we know people that are having to deal with that. And then you got to look at, okay, did they have their finances in order? How are they covering the expense on that? Because if you plan on footing the bill, you know, right now, annual cost in Louisiana is floating around $75,000 a year. Mm. That's if you only need one professional that's, you know, that's being your caretaker, you know, in that time period. Maybe you have, you know, kids that are doing a rotation, you know, in the evenings and on the weekends. But, you know, those same kids probably have a professional career that they're required to go to so they can pay their mortgage and raise their family and do all these other things. So ideally, you know, you're looking at the amount of care that you need. And just on our street, on Coolidge Boulevard, in the All Center, there's three companies that provide staffing for individuals, for families to help take care of their, you know, their mom or their dad or whoever it is. But bottom line is that we have to have money earmarked for it. So we have to look at planning. Do you plan on trying to pay it out of pocket? Well, if you do, well, what's that going to do to your income from a tax standpoint? So we have to look at how to plan in advance. And so using different tools to where we can earmark assets, we can reduce the cost down, and then where we can have a distribution plan to cover that expense without having to put a great amount of or any pressure on our main portfolio. Because the key thing we want to look at is making sure that we have access and control to our money. The other thing is where people look at placing their assets inside of an irrevocable trust to protect themselves in the event they do go into a nursing home, so that money doesn't, you know, evaporate, or those assets don't evaporate, so it can transition. Well, the thing is, if you have adequate money, I would look at doing some extended care planning versus having to tie up all your assets and you lose access and control because you're placing these funds inside of an irrevocable trust. So ideally, we just have to look at what position you're in to make sure that we're making the right recommendation. I mean, we have a team of estate planning attorneys that we use that can help people out building specific plans. We have other avenues that we can go as well, but we have to look at, you know, where you are, take an inventory of your assets, your needs, and look at all these other factors that we have to play in to figure out, okay, what's the right position for you to making sure we're covering all of our bases.
We hope it's not a situation where you find yourself needing some form of long-term care assistance, but as John pointed out, you know, 75% of people entering into retirement will need some sort of assistance, not necessarily going into a long-term care facility, but, you know, home health, things like that. And so it would be irresponsible to not take into consideration the possibility, even the probability of needing this long-term care assistance. And you don't necessarily have to do that, use it or lose it, black or white policy. There's different ways, whether that is earmarking, self-funding, you know, using other strategies out there, but taking into consideration, as John pointed out, not a pleasant thing, not something that anyone is looking forward to, but, you know, having these what-ifs addressed is a lot better than finding yourself unprepared and then having it turn into a what now. It is all part of the planning process and an important one. 366-8366 is how you start developing that complete comprehensive retirement plan, which takes into account taxes and the potential for long-term care assistance and market volatility, and of course, making sure you've got enough income to get you two through in retirement to help you hopefully be financially bulletproof. 366-8366. John, I ran across an article that talked about the three moves to make a month prior to retiring, which include checking up on your emergency savings, nailing down that exit payment from your employer, and seeing if you're able to access long-term savings penalty-free, all very important things. But, you know, there are listeners out there who may not be in that one-month window. Perhaps they're 5 years out. Perhaps they're even 10 years out. What would that checklist look like to knock out in that time frame?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, what we have to look at is, what is your overall plan for retirement? You know, how much money you plan on spending a year? What kind of travel do you plan to have? Or do you plan on restoring a hot rod? Do you plan on buying a boat? Do you plan on buying an RV? Do you plan on buying a camp somewhere? So we have to look at, you know, what are these goals that you have? Mm-hmm. And so having a good understanding of your goals, then we can find out, okay, how are we going to finance these goals? Then number two, we have to take you have to look at, okay, what are your normal sources of income to be able to, you know, afford these goals? Whether you're trying to pay cash for them, you're having to maybe do some financing. Let's say if it's another camp or a boat or an RV of some sort, we have to look at, you know, ideally making sure that your investment's in the right vehicles, have a distribution plan to pay for these things, and looking at how to lower your tax impact. Ideally, we have to look at making sure that you have liquidity. So going into retirement, having an emergency fund is ideal. Well, most people just focus or think, okay, emergency fund is needed whenever you're working. But the thing is, you also want to have it whenever you're retired as well for the unexpected events. Because the last thing you want to do is withdraw money, good money, out of the wrong account, creating a unnecessary tax because you didn't have the liquid money in a tax favorable account to gain an access to. So ideally, we have to look at these things, you know, especially whenever you're even younger than 59 and a half, where we're seeing people calling in and say, hey, look, I need money because I want to pay off this. But I'm like, look, you're going to pay an extra 10% early withdrawal penalty just because you're pulling it out of that account. We're like, oh, I wasn't aware of it. Or, you know, we've seen people that have, we've helped people that they've met with someone else. They had a settlement. They placed their money inside of a non-qualified annuity to start drawing income off of, but they did it under 59 and a half. So any interest they're receiving, because it's getting tax deferred treatment, the IRS throws on a 10% early withdrawal penalty on this money, even though it's not even an IRA. So the thing is, we're looking at these issues and like, okay, we have to plan. Okay, where's the money at? What is the need? And we got to place it in the right area so we can lower the tax impact. You know, we have people that are paying probably 75% more in taxes that come to us than what they should be because of where their assets were placed by their previous financial advisor. So ideally, we got to look at these things. We have to make sure that we have enough money coming in and it's diversified in the right areas. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do from diversification as far as, you know, how to get the income. But ideally, it's a matter of making sure that you have enough coming in. And then from there, we have to look at making sure that we have our bases covered from a medical standpoint, you know, making sure that we're not overpaying and we have the proper coverage, but we're not overpaying for healthcare needs, but also we have money earmarked for extended care needs like we talked about earlier.
If you can test drive a retirement test drive that budget, whether that is, you know, just setting aside that income or maybe, you know, doing a phase sort of retirement, and you find out that maybe those numbers aren't working out in your favor, it is okay. It's easier to go back to the drawing board because you are still working. You've still got income coming in and you know, you haven't clocked out for the last time. There are steps that can be taken 5 years prior to retirement, 10 years prior to retirement, even 20 years prior to retirement. As we say so often, it is never too early to start planning for your retirement. In the same vein, you know, maybe you are in that retirement red zone. Maybe you're just a year or two away. It's never too late to really get serious about your retirement planning. There may be extra steps that you need to take, but it's pretty important to go ahead and do those, regardless of where you are on the way towards your retirement path. If you're already in retirement, making sure that it is going to be sustainable. John and the team can help you maintain that with a second opinion or, you know, building that plan from the ground up. Just take that initial step and give a call, 366-8366 or online at MatthewJames.com. Now, Jake Paul Turner is a motivational speaker who's got a big following on social media. And recently he was asked this.
How do you know if you have a fake friend?
They don't ever give you constructive criticism. They keep feeding you positive comments, even if you're destroying yourself. You want a friend that has your best interests in mind, even if they have to tell you something you don't want to hear.
That tough love that sometimes people don't want to hear, but they need to hear. Is that what you do with clients? You know, are you honest with them, even if it means telling them the things that they don't want to hear, but they need to? Do you have any examples of when you've had to have that tough talk with clients?
Yeah, no, I do. And that's the thing is we don't want to sugarcoat anything here. It's,
sure.
You know, being honest with them about what's going on. You know, some people even come in there like, hey, I'm shopping around. I'm like, look, I know he's your buddy, but let me tell you about how this type of position works. And I take everything from an educational standpoint, mm-hmm. the way I like to bring information to people, not being a like salesperson. What we see is a lot of people are getting into things that they don't truly, you know, understand. And we've got to make sure that they're understanding what's going on. But one of the biggest things that we see, and we have to have that tough talk, is on spending. You know, whenever we see issues like we have, I mean, there's everybody's in a different situation. But like we have one particular person, she had lost her husband. And so she was just withdrawing money like crazy. And I'm like, what's going on? Then I have to have a conversation with you. I'm like, you're bleeding. You're running through so much cash. You're putting yourself in a position to where you could possibly run out. And the only thing that you're going to have is Social Security. Mm. And that's not a good thing. And so, and the thing is she had three storage units. She was just buying stuff and putting it in there. I mean, she had spent an extra $100,000 in a year.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And so by doing so in her scenario, because she's a single filer, is because she had lost her husband previously. Now, okay. So what happens is she's pulling out an extra, you know, $100,000 out of her IRA on top of her social and her normal IRA distributions. So the thing is that's triggering. So the thing is she's triggering multiple things. Number one, she's triggering higher tax rates. She's jumping into higher tax brackets. She wasn't planning on it. She's triggering. She's jumping her income through different IRMA income thresholds. So now her Medicare Part B and Part D premiums are going to go up in 2 years from whenever she was, you know, she had receive that amount of income. And then what she's doing is lowering the nest egg value that she has. So in the event she goes into another phase of life where she has more healthcare needs, she's going to have less money to cover those expenses. So we're seeing this as a problem, and we have to make sure that, you know, they have a good understanding. So, you know, she actually was complaining to her son, you know, I lost all this money. He came into the meeting because it's like, this is not how we understand, you know, her portfolio was set up. I'm like, her portfolio is set up this particular way to where she has very minimal exposure to any kind of loss. But I printed out the report of how much money she's, and every time she called in to withdraw money and the taxes that she paid. And he was furious because she didn't tell him anything all about that. She just said, I lost this much money. It's not, you've withdrawn that much money. And I mean, and you've probably lost it, but you actually bought stuff, and they found out that she had three storage units full of stuff. But the problem is, you know, it's sad because, you know, she's trying to fill a void in her life, but then she hurt herself financially because of what she's done, you know? And so we got to make sure that we're having that conversation. And when people are, you know, withdrawing excessive amounts of money, you know, okay, what's going on? Like, we had one lady came in. She, when I met her, she was single. She starts, you know, she's dating this guy. He comes in with her one day and he was, you know, bragging about this. And I'm like, they walked out and I'm like, I bet you anything that guy doesn't have a penny to his name. And the next thing you know, she's calling to withdraw money and like an excessive amounts. And I had to have a conversation with her. I'm like, look, he might be a nice guy, but he's with you for your cash. You got to think about this because this is your future. And so, you know, we got to be able to identify these things. That's just like if you go to a hair salon and the hairstylist, they're trained to inspect your scalp. They're not a dermatologist, but the thing is, they're going to see things. Like, I found out that I had skin cancer from the girl that cuts my hair. But so she's trained to look at these things. Like, we're trained to look at these things and figure out, okay, what's going on with you, to ask the questions so where we can help you put the brakes on hurting you and your future.
You know, sometimes it's not just about protecting yourself from taxation or protecting yourself from market volatility. There can be situations where you need to protect yourself from yourself. And that is where that tough love, it's not even really tough love. It's just the honesty, knowing that, maybe it's not a spending habit. Maybe it is just a lack of education. Maybe it is not knowing that withdrawing money from X account is going to trigger this taxation or that taxation. That is what you get with the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management, that honesty, that transparency, not just telling you the things that you want to hear, but the things that you need to hear potentially to, again, protect yourself in retirement from whatever factors they may be. It is all part of that planning process. And, it can go a long way to developing. We're talking about that relationship that's going to get you to, through, and beyond retirement. You need that trust. You need that honesty in there. And that is what you get with John and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. MatthewJames.com is how you set up a time to speak with them, start developing that relationship, start creating that plan, or give a call, 366-8366. And we want to thank you so much for joining us here on the Retirement Room. As always, appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. John, appreciate you taking the time. Hope everybody out there, including yourself, John, has a great week ahead of you. And before we wrap up, I want to leave you with the final word.
Yeah, Chris, man, like, I enjoyed the show. We had a lot of tips and strategies and stories that you got to share today. And hopefully you can take these, you know, this information and apply it to your program and help you reduce your tax exposure, build wealth, and have, you know, the lifestyle that you want in retirement. But even while you're even accumulating money and putting yourself in the right position. So be sure to tune in right here on KPL 96.5 next week and on KLFY and KTC this week. I'll be sharing tips and retirement strategies.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and/or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, License Number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.